You're listening to the Lovely Preschool Teachers Podcast, the podcast for quick, actionable ideas and tips to help you up your confidence and joy in educating little learners. I'm your host, Ashley Rives. Let's get to the show. Hey, hey there, preschool teachers. Welcome back to another episode of the Lovely Preschool Teachers Podcast. You're listening to episode 82, our new assessment approach in preschool. We all know the importance of preschool assessment. It helps us understand our little learners. It tailors our teaching to their needs. But sometimes it feels overwhelming. Think about it. With traditional assessments, you spend weeks testing students on all of the end-of-the-year skills multiple times a year. But what if you were only focusing on specific skills to assess for each testing period? Well, that would mean you'd be doing a lot less assessing. Now you can use that saved time to actually help teach those missing skills in small group. Whereas when you were doing assessments for weeks on end, it was hard to ever get to the actual working with the student part. And that is the exact problem I had. I was spending way too much time assessing all of the end of the year skills three times a year that I wasn't actually getting as much time as I needed to help them learn it. So I thought, why are we doing this to ourselves? This is a lot for us. It's a lot for our students to be tested on. So when I came up with this, I playfully named this approach the storybook method, because just like a storybook has a beginning, middle, and end, so can our assessment periods. We can break up our end of the year goals into three testing periods. But why would you want to use the storybook method for preschool assessment? Well, to me, there are three very important reasons. And now that I have broken up my assessments this way, I feel even more strongly about these reasons. One, assessments are boring. How many children do you know that like to sit at the table and answer questions for long periods of time? I mean, very few. Some of them maybe, but very few. It's boring. It's boring for us. It's boring for our students. So why not keep it to the necessary minimum? Second, sometimes it's pointless. Assessing syllables and letter sounds at the beginning of the year can be such a waste of time in a lot of classrooms. I know it is in mine. Most of our students don't even know these yet because we haven't taught them yet in their end of the year goals. So why are we focusing on that at the beginning of the year with assessments when we haven't even really talked about it yet? And the third thing, getting specific. This method helps you get more specific on what you want to focus on, not just in assessments, but also in instruction. The skills you are going to be looking for on the assessment are the skills you should be focused on in whole group, small group, and center activities if students are missing them. So that really does help hone in what we should be doing. So you might be thinking, okay, this sounds like a great idea, but like, how do I really break down my skills? So what I suggest you do is take a look at your end of the year skills that you are expected to help your preschoolers meet, whether these are through your state, through your center, through your school district, whatever it might be. These are end of the year skills, and different end of the year skills lend themselves better to different times of the year. For example, colors, shapes, and counting are great to assess at the beginning of the year because many times children have had exposure to these if they had been in, you know, a preschool or daycare type setting before this, or even at home with moms and dads. They do really well with teaching colors, shapes, and counting. Whereas syllables and rhyming and letter sounds are better suited toward the end of the year, because we really haven't worked a lot on those, and families may not have thought to work a lot on those, right? So when we break down the skills into three testing periods, we can take a more focused look at planning for those skills, all while shortening how much we're actually assessing. Because the goal behind it is to assess and use it. Not just assess, not just collect, not just, okay, I did it. Check that off. Assess and do something with it. So now that I know this, what am I going to do next? Because I now have this information. How can I help these students that need it? You might be thinking, well, wait, I need benchmark data. Okay, I say do it. Just be very particular on how much benchmark data you actually need. You also may be thinking, well, don't I need a pre-assessment before teaching a skill? Well, if you want to, but remember that observations during play and small group can go a really long way. Could observing give you the data you need? And if not, with those pre-assessments, how simple and short can you keep it? So with this approach, there is one thing that is very, very important to do, and that is reassessment. Because not all children will be proficient in all the skills when we assess them. So reassessment is 100% necessary. But I like to think of it only as reassessing on those missing skills. For example, if a child couldn't name all the shapes when assessing at the beginning of the year, this tells me we need to work on that. Then come mid-year, I reassess to see if any more shape names were picked up. This is how assessing guides my instruction. It tells me if what we're working on is actually working. Because remember, the whole goal here is to make sure that the time that we're spending on assessment is actually guiding what we're doing. Otherwise, it is a bunch of wasted time and a bunch of wasted data. So we need to make sure that when we're looking at assessments, that we are not just assessing for the purpose of assessing because we were told to assess. We are assessing with the goal of using the data. And I have to tell you, I'm one that definitely feels like I'm a teacher that is in tune to her students, kind of knows what's going on. But I am surprised year after year when I do assessments. I think I know, and then I realize I didn't know all of it. I didn't know the whole truth, right? You know, I'll be talking to my teaching partner and she'll be talking about how her friends did on these shape assessments. And I'll, you know, maybe haven't done them yet. And I'm like, oh, I think, you know, based on what I've observed, what, you know, I know these kids, I think they probably know them all. Then they come back and over half of them don't know rectangle. Okay, that is a definite sign to myself that I cannot just count on what I think I know. And why assessing really is incredibly important, because now guess what we've been working a lot on? It's that darn rectangle. So I share all that just to encourage you to really try out assessing and making sure that you, what you think you're seeing is what really is what's happening. And it's just a reminder that assessments are just a snapshot in time. So they can also be off. They can be wrong. The child can be having a rough day. Lots of factors go into assessment. And so sometimes we need to take the results with a grain of salt, but getting anything is better than getting no information, right? If you want to give this storybook style a try, I've got a 4-step process to help you storybook your assessments. So first, get ready. Print off your end of year goals or use your current assessment recording sheet. And also gather 3 different colored highlighters. In step 2, we're going to get sorting. So go through each skill and determine if the skill lends itself best to beginning, middle, or end of the year. And then you're going to use your highlighters to color code each skill. So here's a tip. Start with the beginning of the year and find those kind of easier skills or ones that you think, based on your experiences, that children have known coming in a little bit easier. And then move to the end of the year with the much harder skills, and then finish the middle of the year based on kind of what is left. Now in step 3, you're just going to create your own lists. So create your own beginning, middle, and end lists, and use them when you go to assess. So you're only going to assess the skills that are specific to that testing period. And then in step 4, you're going to reassess. So decide on your reassessment plan now. When will you reassess? Will you use the same assessments? How are you going to record the new data? So for me, I like to use the exact same recording sheets and use a different colored pen to represent the beginning, middle, and end of the year. If you want to see my beginning, middle, and end skill list, I've laid it all out in a free guide for you called Cutting Down on Assessment Time in the Preschool Classroom. And inside it are the skills that I have broken up into beginning, middle, end of the year, as well as a full guide on how to really implement the storybook method. So head to the show notes for a link to the guide at lovelycommotion.com/episode82. And I'll talk to y'all next week. Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you enjoy this podcast, please share it with a friend. This helps me spread the word and help more preschool teachers just like you. Keep being lovely.